Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Third down at 7. Another handoff and another stop on the left side, and that's going to be it in this game. The Houston Texans will fall to Baltimore hard. 31-2. The Texans lose back-to-back to the Chiefs and Ravens and will wrap up the regular season a week from Sunday in Nashville against the Tennessee Titans. They're in the playoffs, but they have a lot of questions they need to answer before they get there. Ravens 31, Texans 2.
It wasn't our best outing, of course, all the way across the board. Offensively, defensively, special team wasn't our best outing. We didn't come out as I expected we would come out, and you know, all that starts with me.
Terrible on my behalf, you know, probably one of my worst games of my whole career. You know, just came out flat, didn't have any energy, didn't lead the offense the way I should have. So, I always got to look at myself in the mirror and, you know, be honest with myself, and it's not good enough today. So, is what it is. Can't hang my head down, but just got to keep going.
Yeah, there's two types of losses. Welcome in, everybody. Happy day after Christmas. Hope other than the 3 hours from 3:30 to 6:30 yesterday, your Christmas was outstanding. Seth, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad and all the other languages as well.
Yeah,
yes.
We're a very, very inclusive show here. Yeah. There's two kinds of losses when you come in the day after. There's the kind where you go, okay, what was happening late in the second quarter? We're going to dig in on these two very specific decisions about this. This is where the game flipped right here.
Yeah.
And what was happening at the end? These decisions at the end. The Chiefs game was a little like that. You know, like that game was still a game in the fourth quarter. You know, the little things here and there, whatever. This is the other kind of loss. And this is the worst of these are not the fun ones, man, because this is where you're questioning the overall direction of everything right now.
This is
the low point of the D'Amico Ryans era.
Wasn't necessarily a turning point in a game in which no points would be scored by the Texans offense. It was more of a, I was trying to figure out, when did I run out of pep talks for myself? I think it might have been when they didn't score down from the 4-yard line. And Greg Olson, we'll play the audio later, because I went back and I watched the condensed TV this morning, because I'm going to go back and watch the whole broadcast because I like Greg Olson a lot.
Well, and then the Netflix broadcast too, to see how they did.
Yeah. Boy, I'll relive all of this at least three times in the next 48 hours. So the thing that, and I'm, by the way, we've got John Harrison tomorrow filling in for you, and I'm excited to have John's perspective on a lot of this. I think when they when after the incompletion of Mechie on third down from the 4-yard line, that Greg Olson said, I'd like to see some crossers or some meshes here, something to help guys get open. Because in that situation on that play, they're running just a bunch of guys across the board who aren't especially great at creating separation and man coverage. All just lined up trying to get separation and man coverage.
Trying to get separation in about a 5-yard area.
Yeah.
In the most condensed part of the field.
That was almost like the perfect summation of everything. Because part of it, too, not to excuse Bobby Slowick or anybody else, but part of it comes into because, well, you certainly don't have a team that can just mash it in. You know, your play action is rendered moot because nobody respects the Texans' run game whatsoever. But yes, there are some things you can do from a play calling standpoint. They just looked just inept and unable to compete yesterday. That was where I realized, all right, my pep talks are gone. The defense, we're going to talk a lot about C.J. Stroud and the offense for the rest of the season and on into the offseason especially. But the defense come out the way they did, really unaware I was really disappointed in the defensive tackles. You know, and yeah. I brother-in-law the defensive line a little too much, maybe, because I've got okay. a natural
yeah.
sympathy for him.
Sure.
Man, the Ravens, credit to them for a game plan that said, hey, these defensive linemen play a hyper-aggressive style of football, and we're just going to exploit that. And the defensive tackles obliged. They were running upfield unaware.
Big holes.
And it's just that, hey, I didn't know you could block me from that direction.
Right.
It was ugly, man. It was ugly all around.
It was bad. I guess technically I tapped out. You know, I like you, take copious notes during the game. And I pride myself on taking notes all the way to the final gun. You know,
yeah.
just the two columns, one for each half, each possession, down and distance, you know, the key plays, circle them. Got to 31-2 on that very easy Mark Andrews touchdown. Where literally I'm just typing touchdown coming ...
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark Andrews. Like, you just know, like, this Ravens team, you just know it's coming. And I just wrote about a third of the way down the second half column. Hope y'all enjoyed the Beyonce concert because unless something noteworthy happens, this is the end of the Pender notes for tonight. Thanks for ruining Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Thanksgiving and retroactively. They
ruined Thanksgiving by losing to the Titans the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So they at
didn't
home.
That put you in a funk for 4 days.
At home, it kind of did, actually. Yeah. Yeah. They ruined Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, and that's unforgivable.
Another thing that bothers me
the
most.
Two major eating holidays.
The thing that bothers me the most is that this is a team that. The two opportunities they've had to play on just the 4 days of rest this year.
Yeah.
The Thursday night game versus the Jets
yep.
and now versus the Ravens. They were just complete no-shows. That they just flat out were not ready compared to another NFL team on short rest to come out and play a football game. Like I feel it's hard for me not to look at it and just and wonder, all right, what about the core DNA of this team? Is not on the same level or caliber of other NFL teams like
yeah.
the Jets.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great point because what was last season? Last season was noon Sunday, noon Sunday,
yeah.
noon Sunday, noon Sunday, and you get into a routine. And there are certain things about last season's Texans,
uh-huh.
exhilarating as it was, them going 10-7, making the playoffs, winning a playoff game. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. But there is something to be said for playing a schedule where maybe the third best quarterback you played was Baker Mayfield last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you played noon Sunday every game until week 18 where they put you on in primetime against the Colts. And you won that game, to their credit. The step up in weight class this season, and they may wind up with the same record as they did last year, 10-7. But we know the truth with this team right now. And the truth is not in the 9-8 or 10-7 that they'll call 10-7 if they beat the Titans. The truth is not in that record. The truth is in the record over the last 8 games, which is 3-5.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is big time in the record against good teams this year, which is 1-5.
Right.
Winning teams.
Even though you've slugged it out with a couple of them.
But you look totally outclassed in some of these games.
No, you know, the thing is, when I say slug it out, I mean, some of those, it's that you let it go in the fourth quarter.
That's right.
You slugged it out for 3 quarters with some of the better teams.
That's right.
But ultimately, like, what the good teams do is in the fourth quarter, the players, the coaches, everybody have kind of learned something from the previous 3 quarters, and they go out and execute in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
The Texans have been the exact opposite in that regard.
Yep.
And then, like, in CJ, we probably I did this on my live stream last night. We're 8 minutes into it, and, I mean, it's not an elephant in the room. It's the most obvious thing in the room. CJ just flat out played awful last
he
night.
Stunk.
There was just no excuses. There, you can take various plays and say, okay, well, there's a drop here, a drop there. Just way too many easy passes that CJ misfired on. Too many times where you could just tell that the rhythm and timing and everything else was just a little bit off. You know, that throw to Dalton that he missed when Dalton was wide open in the flat. Sure, he was getting hit at the time, but he could have made that decision a lot earlier.
Yeah.
Just knowing what the coverage was and knowing where the opportunity was,
yep.
Schultz would have had 30 yards on that play.
Yeah.
There's so many. Mechie missed one to Mixon. To all these short,
missed
easy
one.
Passes.
The first one was he missed Nico.
That's
sailed
right.
it
yeah.
over his head on second
yep.
down.
Yep. Yep.
And the Schultz play was the very next play on third down after that.
You know, and obviously CJ took full accountability for it,
yeah.
but that's, you know, and he's the head of the snake, you know? You chop off the head and the body fails. Like, so that's, He can't have those moments in games like that.
You're 100% right. Like, this is... That's the most worrisome thing to come out of this game for me. They got blown out by the Ravens. I expected I said 31-17. In my mind, when I made that prediction, I'm like, probably could be a lot worse. I felt going into this game, A, they were running on fumes, and B, the Ravens are just... I feel like the Ravens' best game is the best of any team's best game out there. Like, they're the team that has... Bills included... They're the team that has the most propensity, especially because they're getting it together on defense now, to embarrass you. And they embarrassed the Texans yesterday. But you're 100% right. The most worrisome thing to come out of this game yesterday is that there was nowhere else to point with the deficiencies in the passing game other than there are plenty of places to point, but this was the first time I felt like, boy, the criticism. I've always felt like the criticism CJ's been getting this season has been a little over the top. Not that he doesn't deserve some blame, but that it's been a little over the top based on all the stuff going on around him that I don't think is his fault. This was his fault yesterday.
This, and I would say in the last 2 weeks especially, there are mistakes he's making that are completely independent of whether it's poor blocking or not. And that's when he's in situations where he cannot take a sack. He's taking sacks. Yeah. There's a play where it's designed to get the ball out quickly. And, all right, the play doesn't work out. So the pass protection will fail by design those plays, and he's taking a sack. Yeah. Like, you got to get rid of the football.
And he didn't do that last year.
No.
That was one of the big praises of C.J. Stroud last year. Remember last year, like, halfway through the season, and he hadn't really hit his stride yet, but he was playing well.
Yeah.
Remember, we were sticking up for him, people pointing to his completion percentage outside of Houston, people not watching the Texans. Well, he was only completing 58% of his passes. That's because he's throwing at least 5 or 6 balls a game away
avoid
sacks.
And that's what was so impressive. By rookie standards, he was way more mature in some of that game management stuff.
Yeah.
And I hate this because it's so easy to say, and yet sometimes the thing that's easy to say is because it's true. It's that they spent the entire offseason getting pumped up by rat poison from everybody about how awesome they were going to be. And I'm glad that this happened versus the Ravens, because last year, after the divisional round, I said, man, you know what? It's the best thing for this team could have been that they really understood that they were out of their weight class. Yeah. You know, they're not ready to play with the big boys yet. And then I think just because you acquire through free agency or trade weaponry, it almost feels like, oh, there we are. Oh, now we're over. That's what we needed. And a lot of these guys, and C.J. Stroud especially, didn't truly understand how hard it is to win in the NFL. And the difficulty level just got amped up that much higher this year because teams knew that they were a respectable team. They were somebody that they were going to get the best effort of other teams. Not to the point of like a Kansas City Chiefs or anything, but they are not ready for prime time.
They're not. You know? They're not. And they got one game left to figure a few things out, and it's against the Titans. And I don't know how much you figure out against the Titans, although they did beat you at home back in week 12. So we got a lot to dig into still. We now know what's in store for the Texans from a playoff. No, 100% what's in store from one standpoint. From another standpoint, we're 79% sure. How are we feeling about the Texans once this regular season is over and what their likely scenario is? We'll discuss that.
I just kept missing, you know, just wasn't making throws. And at the same time, you know, I got to find a way to stand in there stronger and make those throws. You know, just some miscommunication with me and some of the receivers, but ultimately, you know, it's up to me to, you know, make the throw when guys are open. So,
That's what's so frustrating. Now, C.J. Stroud taking accountability for missing a bunch of throws, and he did. And it was a stretch of football in the first half still. In the second, it was when it was still a game.
Yeah.
And he's missing Nico, and then he misses that. That Schultz play was the one that really hurt. The one you were talking about, third down, Schultz there's kind of a cluster of blockers in front of CJ, and Schultz kind of late, leaks out a little bit in the left. And if CJ just does the thing that Mahomes does where he doesn't even use a normal throwing motion, he just flicks it out there, just lofts it to him out there, like a forward lateral almost. Schultz is probably gaining 30 yards on that play.
Yeah.
You know?
He was, even Schultz, like Schultz is taken every opportunity to not make plays this season, but even on that one nice catch out to the right, CJ was throwing it under duress, but it wasn't a good throw.
No.
It was Schultz it could have been out. With a better defensive back, could have been pick six 100%. Potentially. And then yep. Schultz did a good job on that play.
Yeah.
It was simply a bad night for CJ. Yes, all of these other things that have been going on around him have led to CJ not being the best version of himself, and it's hard sometimes to decipher how much is his fault and how much is everybody else's fault. Last night, there were just simply way too many plays that there was no excuse for the throws he was making. It was a really bad performance, and it's coming off of a game in which he played horrifically in the second half and made a bunch of bad decisions last week. Earlier this week,
yeah, 4 days ago,
he right. made he even when things were going well, he was still capsizing against Kansas City with mistakes of his own volition that there were really no excuses for. It's been a bad stretch. It's been a bad five quarters for CJ.
Yeah, it's funny. Like if you listen to his press conferences recently, and you go back, if you were to listen to press conferences from his rookie season. It almost sounds like they should be flipped. Like, he's having the season this year that I think people expected him to have as a rookie last year. He can make a lot of mistakes. He's going to throw some interceptions. He's going to look a little timid or jittery at times. It's just that's the way it goes as a rookie. And that's what makes this so, I don't want to say strange. I mean, we've seen it happen in the NFL before. Frustrating, for sure, for Texan fans who had very high expectations this year is that, yeah, like, anybody who's thinking there hasn't been a regression with CJ, like, yesterday – if you're still on that tip that like there's like this is all everybody else's fault,
right?
And none of it to do with CJ Stroud. If yesterday didn't push you over to the other side of that, then I don't know what's going on.
And
to.
I think, you know, the injuries simply aren't an excuse, because the injuries to the offense in general. I mean, the Ravens don't have a good offensive line, but they're coached well, and they've also got the benefit of having Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry
right.
that make life a lot easier for that offensive line.
Yeah.
So there's just like having injuries or a couple of subpar offensive linemen isn't an excuse for everything else. The sum total of it at all is that Bobby Slowick, CJ Stroud, various other performers on the offense, it's flat out not working right now. And if there's whatever the change needs to be, and I'm not just saying, well, you got to fire the offense. I'm not like there needs to be something systemic changed. About the way they're operating.
Yeah.
If they do retain Bobby Slowick, it cannot be with the old, hey, you just got to keep sawing wood. And you're just, no, there needs to be full blown, full bore systemic change with a lot of stuff that we don't even have. We're not privy to.
Yeah.
But it's just flat out not working.
It's got to, man. So the Texans know now what's in store, by and large, for the playoffs. They will be the 4 seed. So there are no dreams of the 3 seed, no dreams of changing their lot in life. Once again, and I believe the Texans have been the 4 seed every year they've made the postseason, if I'm not mistaken. Every year they made the postseason, it's been as a division winner. They've never been a wild card team before. So they've had a home game every time they've made the postseason. And I believe it's been as the 4 seed. All of the time, if not a majority of the time. They've got a 79% chance of playing the Pittsburgh Steelers now. After the Steelers losing to the Chiefs yesterday and the Texans doing what they did yesterday. So you play the Steelers at home in the wild card round. I feel good about the... I don't feel great about anybody, but let me just comparatively speaking, the Steelers feels like a much more winnable game, certainly, obviously, than the Ravens do. There's still like a 16% chance it could be the Chargers and a very minimal chance it could be the Denver Broncos, depending on how games break the next 10 days or so. The thing that makes me most nervous about playing the Steelers here, Seth, is that I think 50% of the crowd is going to be Steelers.
Oh, that's true. You're going to lose a home field. Whatever it is. Plus, it's just emotionally depressing, especially given I'm guessing the way the fan base feels right now.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like they're ready to just rally to the cause. I don't know how much any performance against Tennessee is going to change that. And there's, you know, you're at the point now where it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to play your starters a whole bunch in that Titans game. And yet emotionally, it feels like, man, they got to get off the schneid.
I'm glad you're bringing up the Titans part of this.
Yeah.
Clint and I discussed this on the postgame show yesterday, and I was excited to talk to you about this because you've been very staunch. In a patch of schedule where you could make arguments either way, you know, you clinch the division. There was going into these Chiefs and Ravens games, there was the best chance of you. The four seed was the clear favorite for you. There was a slight chance you could get the three seed. You had been pretty adamant about A, wanting the three seed, and B, especially in the offensive side, this team needs work.
They need the work, right? They need to get some things right.
Three seed's out the window now.
Yeah.
But I think the latter still holds true that they need work. So how are you feeling about how they should handle this Tennessee game?
It's almost like triage. You got to figure out, all right, is it worth the sacrifice for something that might be a lost cause? I'm like, at this point, is rest and health just the only thing you really can do to be better offensively in the playoffs? And just accept that, man, we didn't fix all these things that we've been trying to fix all season long. And I throw in the towel on that part of it and just try to get the best and healthiest version that you can. I like, okay, the Titans have a good run defense. Do I trust that one game versus the Titans is all of a sudden going to figure out, the Texans are going to figure out how to run the ball?
Right.
I do not feel that way right now.
No, I don't either. And yet I think the offense should play against the Titans.
Just out of punishment? Or just,
I think for a lot of the same reasons you thought they should play in these last two games. Like, it's not a good... sitting an offense that stinks is not going to help you beat the Steelers.
It's like, I got an old car that doesn't work ever, so instead I'm not going to tinker with it. I'm just going to let it sit in the garage and hope for the best 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, I almost feel like, at least on the offensive side of the ball, and this is not me absolving the defense of what happened yesterday. That was an embarrassment on both sides of the football. But the defense, I could see resting Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, and Derek Stingley against the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
That is an explainable thing to me, and you deal with it.
Yeah.
Titans are not a good offensive team. You deal with it how you deal with it. The offense, it feels like another game is a necessary step just to feel like you can compete in the postseason.
They need more reps. A little taste of success or
Try doing things properly or something. Yeah. So that's kind of how I feel about it. Do you know there's a decent chance, Spillane pointed this out to me yesterday, there is a decent chance that we actually get a Monday Night Football game in the wild card round here.
Because there's a wild card Monday Night game?
There is, yeah. Because remember when they added the extra round of the playoffs, it's 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and then the Monday night game.
What's that? Is that going to be on like Hulu or Peacock?
No, I think
or something?
It's not. I think
is
it's on
actual broadcast.
I think
television?
It's on. Yes, yeah, I think it's like a Joe Buck, Troy Aikman joint. I think it's like legit Monday Night Football. But that game last year was the first year they did it because that was the first year that they had 7 playoff teams. In each conference, it has to be a 4-5 game because that's the only matchup that at that stage of the weekend doesn't shuffle the deck on where everybody needs, because they reseed, as you know, they reseed after the wild card round, and a 4-5 game can't change where all these other teams have to travel. Yeah. So last year, it could have been the Texans, but instead they played at the slot where we have the Texans Invitational every year, Saturday at 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was Tampa Bay and Philadelphia was the 4-5 out of the NFC. I could see putting that one over there because you had Philly, defending NFC champ, playing in a wild card game. This year, as of right now, it would be Atlanta. It would be Minnesota at Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Darnold versus Michael Penix Jr.
Ooh, it's intriguing.
I think there's a decent chance the Texans get a Monday Night Football game. Steelers involved in it?
So it's a primetime game.
It's a primetime game. I'm not wishing for it. I'm just pointing it out to people that the wild card round game could be a Monday Night Football game. I don't think a lot of people know that.
last year at the end of the season, towards the end of the season, it was the fan base was quite depressed after they got shellacked by the Browns at home. The difference there was that C.J. Stroud wasn't playing.
Missed that game.
In that game.
Yeah.
And then they turned it around, and they got hot, obviously.
They turned it around big time, too. Yeah. Like, they turned it around behind the offense. They came back. C.J. came back the next week.
Yeah.
They destroyed the Titans 26-3. He had a great game. Mm-hmm. They go to Indianapolis, play in prime time.
Yeah.
Win a must-win game.
Mm.
Nico went off.
Yeah.
9 catches, 192 yards. And then they destroyed the Browns in the playoff game. And at that point, the Baltimore Ravens playoff game, I was disappointed in how they played, obviously. CJ still has yet to score a touchdown on the Ravens, by the way. He's played them 3 times. The only touchdown that they've scored in those 3 games was a Steven Sims punt return. Other than that, it's been Kyeme Fairbairn field goals and Kamari Lassiter tackling Derrick Henry in the end zone.
The Lamar Jackson's average margin of victory over the Texans now in the 5 games he's played is more than 20 points,
right? 33-9 is the average
score. On average? 33-9
is the average score, yeah. Yep. It was
24-point margin on average.
Yeah, the closest game was the COVID. No, the closest game was CJ's debut in week one last year. They lost 25-9.
Those were the glory days.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they didn't score any. They didn't score any touchdowns.
Lamar Jackson was still like getting into Todd Monken's scheme. Yeah, he didn't run hardly at all.
Yeah, it was 7-6 at the half. It took him a half to get into Todd Monken's scheme.
Yeah, yeah.
he was still kind of working out the kinks.
The first couple games this last year, it did look like people weren't sure about this experiment. What? The Ravens started off 0-2 this year. I don't know if this is the year for the Ravens.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people gushing over how like, oh, it's preordained that the Chiefs are going to win. After their performance versus the Steelers yesterday, and I get, and you know what, that was depressing to me because it just shows you how little respect the most people around the country have for the Texans.
Yeah.
People are looking at that Ravens game versus the Texans like, yeah, what they really prove. Yeah. I don't know, man. I watched the Ravens versus the Steelers last week, and it was pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
So that the Ravens. This is the same way I felt after the divisional round last year. I was like, oh, the Ravens are winning it all.
Yeah.
So they still have to get over that Chiefs.
They
got to
go through Kansas City. You know, they got to.
They got to face Steve Spagnuolo.
Yep.
You know, they got to, like, okay, so there's some tricks up a defensive coordinator's sleeve that Lamar Jackson still has to show that he can overcome.
Yep, no doubt. All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Day after Christmas, we are sifting through the Christmas massacre yesterday that was the Ravens destroying the Texans 31-2. We'll hit it in headlines, and at the top of the hour, we'll relive the part of this game that I thought captured this Texan season perfect. There was a stretch of football that, and almost like the football gods were saying, this is what you guys have been this year. It happened yesterday. We'll relive that at the top of the hour. That's coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, embarrassment yesterday at NRG Stadium. 31-2. The final score, the Ravens destroy the Texans. I had half the score right. I had Ravens 31, Texans 17. I got the Ravens score right. I was a little off on the Texans score. I thought about it. I was this close to saying 31-2, but I went 31-17.
This is how bad it was. This is how bad the performance was. That, as multiple people noted, CJ at the beginning of his press conference did not give any religious
thank his Lord and Savior.
I don't want to be sacrilegious as I'm talking about this, but I almost wonder in that moment if you are, you know, like athletes will, you know, you'll say a lot of, you want to, you know, spread the word and do all those things, and that a lot of athletes look at playing on that stage as like a way to glorify God's name. And I think CJ got up there and was like, well, that's not what happened.
Kind
of advertising there. I don't feel like I don't want to bring God into this.
I didn't glorify anybody.
I'm not. I let him down, man.
I glorified Kyle Hamilton with that pick is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hell of a pick, too, by Kyle Hamilton in that moment. Yeah. So not a great day for CJ Stroud yesterday. Not a great day for D'Amico Ryans either. And he summed it all up at the beginning of his press conference.
Again, always a blessing when we get the opportunity to play again on the stage. We got to play it on today. Thankful for that opportunity. Of course, the game didn't go how we wanted to go. We didn't play our best ball, and all of that starts with me. Just a lack of execution. All right. If we want to beat a good team like that, you have to execute. We didn't execute well. Credit to the Ravens, really good football team. They came out, they played really well today, and obviously we did not. We'll take the next couple of days here to, you know, look at everything, starting with myself, and everything starts with me. But as a team, we just stay together, figure out a way to come out playing better football.
Okay.
Okie dokie. I remember in one season, it was our 2-14 season in 2005. It got to a point where, you know, you realize we'd lost our first six games, something like that. And you realize, okay, we've run out of pep talks, you know. And, like, that was basically the message, honestly, was like, oh, listen, we've run out of pep talks. We just got to show up and go to work and be as fresh as possible on Wednesday. And we ended up winning that game, Sean. And then we lost a bunch more. But that's where they are. They've run out of pep talks. Like, they've kind of, because they've been through this very scenario already, except the biggest difference is that this, as CJ himself said, this was CJ's worst game, and there aren't excuses for a lot of the simple things that he made mistakes on or misfires that he had. And there's plenty of blame to go around with Bobby Slowick and with other offensive players. And the defense, I was very, 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 very disappointed in the defense, to the point where I'm almost having to I have to remind myself that CJ and the offense is the big story, but man, I did not expect the defense to come out there and be that soft.
No.
I did not expect that. I thought that was a big disappointment to me.
Yeah. Yeah. They just like, they got a walkthrough on the first drive.
And I think that D'Amico had a pretty good game plan. It's tricky to execute, but versus that Ravens team, there's times where you just got to flat out tell the defensive ends, all right, no, you know, you're not going to try to read the zone read. You're just going to hit the quarterback, or you're just going to go after the run, and then the linebackers fill in behind you based on what you're doing. And you kind of got to, just like blitzing, you got to mix it in, and sometimes you're lucky with it, sometimes you're not. But they didn't execute that strategy well enough. The linebackers behind the defensive line didn't. And that's part of just the option game that's tough. I was really disappointed in the defensive tackles just being completely and totally unaware of what the Ravens were doing in terms of the whams and traps, just using their aggression against them. They were completely unprepared for it, and that was a big, huge issue. So they came out, and all credit to the Ravens for being as good as they are, but the Texans' defense was not nearly as mentally ready for that as I thought. The goal line play, Will Anderson made some awesome plays in that game. Derrick Henry's touchdown on the goal line.
Yeah.
Will Anderson had a good play going, was supposed to bounce it outside, and he just spun out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I watched that play again, and I'm like, how did this not get stuffed?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, Will Anderson just spun right out of where he was supposed to be.
Yep.
It just uncharacteristic mental errors and performances. Even out of guys who otherwise had good games, they did some stuff really, really bad last night.
Yeah.
So it's offense, it's defense, it's coaching, it's everything.
It's everything. And I think there's the confidence level is low on C.J. Stroud right now with people out there as we've seen it. It's low on D'Amico Ryans right now that he's going to be able to pull the nose up on this plane.
Yeah.
You know, that's and even little things like yesterday in the game that – like decisions with D'Amico Ryans. Like, he hasn't been as crisp a game manager this year as he was as a first-year head coach. Like, it's weird. Like, he and CJ both are going through this weird reversal thing where, man, as a first-year head coach and as a rookie quarterback, they were dynamite.
Yeah.
And now this year, I think there's been a lot more things called into question with D'Amico. Certainly, I think the overall handling of the offense, not just at a Bobby Slowick level, but ultimately this is D'Amico Ryan's problem too.
Right, right.
Is there a lot of questions there? But even little things like yesterday, goes forward on fourth down on the drive after the safety, where Kamari Lassiter tackles Derrick Henry in the end zone. Damian Pierce on the ensuing kickoff has another great kickoff return.
Yeah,
sets you up, and D'Amico decides to go forward on fourth down. Gets a very questionable pass interference call on Robert Woods, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was a very ticky-tack call, but we'll take it. Sets you up, goal to go. Joe Mixon runs it on first down, gets you down inside the 2 or 3 yard line there. And then you run a couple of plays, you go for it on fourth down, you throw it to Mixon, he doesn't get in. So you went for it on fourth down twice on that drive. The Ravens get the ball back, they score a touchdown after the big Andrews catch and run. So it's 17-2. Now you have the ball, it's towards the end of the half. You have 4th and 2 in Ravens territory, and you choose to punt.
Yeah.
And so that's what I hate.
It felt like the Chiefs playoff game. It's like where Bill O'Brien had no rhyme or reason to when he was going to take chances and when he wasn't. It was kind of flip-flopped in that because O'Brien was conservative and then went for it. But it was like play calling in an overall attitude that just didn't seem to have any consistency. It felt like you were just throwing stuff at the wall.
Yeah, O'Brien settled for a field goal on 4th and short, and then 5 minutes later he's running fake punts with Justin Reed.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, that's a bad look, man. Like, if you come into a game thinking, okay, we need to score points, and D'Amico explained, he was asked about it after the game.
Yeah, we went into the decision on fourth down. We needed to score. Right? We had some momentum going for us. We needed to score 7 to beat a team like this. Like, we're not going to beat them kicking field goals. So we needed to score 7. So that's why, I decided to go for it.
And I understand 4th and 2, 4th and goal at the 2 or 3 yard line is different than 4th and 2 at midfield, especially against this team.
Yeah.
With who they have at quarterback, and Justin Tucker, as bad as he's been this year, you still got to respect him as a kicker. You might be giving up 3 points. But to your original point, D'Amico, you're going to need to score points in this game.
Right,
it was 17-2 at the time.
Yeah, and there was no part of that performance where you thought, like, oh, yeah, it's just a matter of time until it clicks for him.
Right.
What up? So, what a miserable football game that was.
It was miserable. That was the worst experience so far, the D'Amico Ryan.
I did a live stream last night, and I said, hey, you know, at least Beyonce put on a good show. I can't even enjoy that, because then I got hit with a deluge of like, oh, no, this is the downfall of humanity that she's up there. Fine, whatever. Could you let me have one thing?
You were getting hit with tweets like that about the Beyonce show?
Yeah, I couldn't even try to give credit to Beyonce. I don't particularly, she's not, that's not my music, you know? But I appreciated the grandeur of the performance.
Dude,
I was really shocked by the lighting and how many people they had out there and everything.
The number of people.
Yeah.
There were like, it looked like a job fair. There were like seven different things going on at this. There were like seven different booths going on at the same time.
If it had been a better game, I would have been annoyed by it. Because I would have been like, come on, let's get back to the football game. If the Texans were somehow winning at that point, I would have been irate. Yeah. I'd be like, no, what the hell? They got to be in there. By that point in the game, I just thought, this is a nice diversion from my actual emotions.
When Lamar Jackson scored that touchdown in the first possession, their first possession of the second half, I tweeted, can we bring Beyonce back out? I wanted more Beyonce at that point. It was better than what the hell was going on the field.
The nice thing about that halftime performance was that it gave me plenty of time to get back to the studio because I had to do some work here.
Yeah.
So I watched the third quarter. I have not watched the fourth quarter in its entirety yet, full disclosure.
I didn't watch it either. I was typing and writing
notes. Have to go back and watch Davis Mills, so I'll do that during one of our breaks.
Looking at my list of people I hadn't texted yet to wish a Merry Christmas to, I'm like, oh yeah.
Well, plus I had to get to. I went to a friend's house for a Christmas dinner last night because Brandy's not here, and I forgot I was going to bring something nice for him, and then I forgot. Oh yeah, every single grocery store is closed, so I got the finest Walgreens offerings that I could. I got their finest wine. I got their finest. You know what I did?
They appreciate the $19 you spent on that.
They did. I was actually kind of looking for like a cheap novelty t-shirt or something that maybe I could give the kids. But the best thing you can get at Walgreens that feels kind of classy are those Lindor spherical chocolates. Those are good.
They look classy, too.
I felt actually pretty smooth walking in with them.
That's what you got?
I got the giant bag, too, Sean.
Of course you do. Yeah. You're a great friend. That's what you do. You bring the giant bag, man.
I almost thought about, hey, whatever. I'm feeling kind of depressed. Based on what I've seen on social media, I could just walk right out with these things. I almost thought about shoplifting.
That's true.
But I didn't need some hero tackling me.
That's not the way to go viral. How tempted were you to eat the chocolates on the way over to their house?
Not at all. Not at all.
Even with the outcome of that game?
You know, I might not eat for 2 more days. I was so stuffed yesterday.
Really?
Oh, they had really good food before our pregame show. You know, I was almost late to the pregame show because I was like, I'm not missing out on this Christmas time.
I
ate the meal like 3 hours before the game, and then I ate during the first half.
Yeah.
And then I went to my friend's house last night and gorged once again.
Shout out to the Texans with their Grinch theme for the press box food.
Boy, they really hit it out of the park last night.
They did.
Sean.
No, the press box was great.
If you're tuning in right now,
sure
you're going to hear about how
fans everywhere are happy we got our fair share of cookies.
You're going to hear how awesome the Texans were last night. They were the fresh baked cookies
catering
and whatnot.
Catering was amazing. Catering was Super Bowl caliber last night.
No, I depression ate last night. I didn't expect the Texans to win that game, and I didn't expect the offense to play particularly well. I didn't expect CJ specifically to play the way he played, and I didn't expect the defense to be a no-show.
Yeah,
that was a surprise to me. I knew they were going to have their troubles versus Lamar Jackson. I didn't know they were going to make it so easy for
them. Yeah, well, buckle up. We're about to relive some of this at 7 o'clock here.
Oh, wait. Okay, that's it. My fast is over.
Hey,
I'm going to eat.
By the way, good luck finding food.
I'm going to eat this damn toothbrush if I can't find anything.
Steelers lose to the Chiefs 29-10 on Christmas Day. Rockets in New Orleans tonight to face the Pelicans. And by the way, food-wise, shout out, enough said tailgaters. Loaded baked potatoes before the game at the pregame show. Thumbs up. Good job. Appreciate that. All right. When this thing was still a game, because it was in the first half, there was a ray of hope. There was an opening that the Ravens gave the Texans to make this a game. And what unfolded was a synopsis, a microcosm of this Texans season. We will relive it coming up next.